Welcome to episode 93 of Frank Reactions, the podcast where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Tema Frank. Today's show is going to be a little bit different from usual. Instead of an interview, I want to walk you through an example of a bad customer experience situation and talk about some of the lessons that can be learned from it. So here's the deal. On July 31st of this year, I bought a product that was supposed to automate the process of finding email addresses for people who have reviewed books similar to yours, so that you can offer them a review copy in the hopes that they might want to review yours. I had actually already done that manually with a couple of reviewers I'd spotted who reviewed business books much like PeopleShock. And they had been very receptive and had done really fantastic and very honest, thorough reviews. So the idea of not having to hunt around for their contact information sounded great. The product came with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so I thought, okay, what the hell, I'll give it a try. When you sign up, it gives you an introductory video on how to use it, which I watched, and then I started to list some books that were similar to mine and submit that to get the email addresses of reviewers. Unfortunately, it didn't work. Now, I really wanted it to work, so I emailed the company to ask what could be done about the problem. And I'm now going to read to you the series of emails that ensued. At each step, I want you to think about what the customer was likely thinking and feeling, and what the owner of the small business that offered the software was probably thinking and feeling. And you get to watch the whole thing go off the rails. So, July 31st, I sent an email. Hi, I'm just trying out your software. A couple of things. One, the export to CSV doesn't work. It returns this in the spreadsheet. And I copied and pasted the fatal error message. Two, it would be wonderful if your lists would also return info on what star rating they gave the book and how many people voted their review helpful. Thanks. Now, when I checked back, I actually saw that item two, those things were in fact supposed to have been provided, as well as the reviewer's actual review. A bit later, I was still playing with it, I wrote back again and said, hi again, I noticed that many, brackets most, of them are website URLs rather than emails. 2 days later, on August 2nd, I got this reply. Hi Tema, please watch the first video, main overview of the entire process. On this page, and she put a link. This will help out a lot. Thanks, Debbie. I replied, hi, Debbie, I have watched that. I still have the problems noted. See the screenshot, which I had attached to the first email. Even for those who do not have an email address, and most of them are websites rather than emails, it does not show the review stars, or text, nor link to the review. And the export to CSV doesn't work. Later that day, I got an email from her saying, this has been addressed and fixed. 3 days later, on August 5th, I tried it again, and then sent her the following email. Hi, Debbie. So, the export to CSV does work now, but it still doesn't provide me with much data. No email addresses, review URL, book name, author, ASIN number, review stars, review text. So, not very helpful. Is there something I'm misunderstanding? 2 days later, she replied, the new searches should work better moving forward. Thanks, Debbie. I replied, hi, Debbie. I tried a few today, and it doesn't seem to have done anything at all with them. It said on BRT, the book review targeter name of the product, that the searches had been sent, but I didn't get confirmation emails and no sign of results. August 8th, she replied, I see that your books are in the queue. Please watch the main overview video on this page. And she gives the link again. This is how the tool works. I replied, I have watched it, Debbie. It does not work as shown. She replied, as I mentioned in the video, there is no email confirmation when the results are there. You need to check the system back after a few hours. This is something I had, of course, done. I replied, yeah, I know. I meant the emails I got after the first batch saying that they were in process. But either way, I'm not getting results showing up from yesterday nor this morning, August 9th, next day. She writes, we found the issue and reset the system this morning, and puts a little happy face. Please restart your searches. Note, still no apologies for the problems or for kind of being rude and telling me, just watch the damn video. August 15th, a few days later, I finally had a chance to try it again, and I sent her this email. Hi, Debbie. So, we're getting a bit more info now, but still not much. See attached. It only shows content for 2 reviews. Thoughts? No reply. Time went by. I tried a couple more times with the same problems happening. And finally, when I realized I clearly wasn't going to hear back from her, I decided to cancel and request a refund. August 29th. Remember, I had bought the product on July 31st. Hi, Debbie. I've been enjoying your webinars, but I'd like to cancel my BRT subscription and request a refund. It just doesn't provide as much info as I was expecting. Maybe it works better for fiction books. Thanks. That got a reply. Her reply said, just checking your account. Looks like you've extracted quite a bit of emails. Thanks. I replied, very few of them are actually emails, mostly just websites, which I can easily find myself. Her reply, there are a ton of emails in there. You can find all of this info fast on your own. I do have a return policy, but red flags get raised when 1, I see the system has been used extensively. 2, the refund request is on the last possible day. While I do have the refund policy, I don't take this lightly when I see this behavior. I will put you on my buyer's blacklist, and that will go into a network blacklist where you won't be able to purchase many other products. I do this to protect others from people who abuse this generous refund policy. I replied, Debbie, you know I've been having troubles with it all along. I emailed you repeatedly, and only some of those emails were answered. The first several batches I tried did not provide the reviews, as you know from my earlier emails. So, pretty useless. As you will see on the attached download records, in my more recent attempt, far fewer than half have emails, and of those, only about half actually show the reviews. Brackets, I haven't bothered attaching all the earlier tests that showed no reviews, but feel free to look them up. I really wanted your software to work, Debbie, and was more than happy to pay for it. That's why I held in for this long, hoping you'd fix the problems that I pointed out in my earlier emails. So, given that I did get a few email addresses and review records, far less than a quarter of what I asked for, how about you keep 1/4 of my payment? I'm trying to be fair here. My goal is not to rip you off. Then I got some bounce messages. So on October 31st, I sent her another one saying, apparently my reply to you has not gone through. Please see below, Debbie. And so I repeated that original email. September 1st, she writes back, Tema, if you need book reviews, you should just stay on. The system's working great right now, and I'm working on developing some major improvements. I can give you some discounts if you want on later products. Thanks. I replied, I might re-sign on later in that case, brackets, without a trial, close brackets. But for now, can we do the 3/4 refund for the reasons I outlined, please? Regretfully, Tema. Got some more bounced messages. On September 4th, I sent her another one saying, I've been having trouble with my email, so I'm not sure if you got the reply below. That was September 4th. September 19th, having not heard anything from her, but also not having got more bounce backs, I sent another one saying, Hi Debbie, I have not heard back from you on this, nor have I seen a refund. Please see the proposal I sent you on September 1st. See below. So that was September 19th. October 13th. Still no word from her and no refund. So I sent her another one. Hi Debbie, further to our conversations, I have not seen a refund on this. She replies, there's a 30-day refund policy, period. I replied, come on, Debbie, I spoke to you within the 30 days. Please review our correspondence. Next day, nothing. So I send her another email. Are you going to issue the refund your site claims is available and that I did claim within the 30 days, or do I have to start complaining publicly? Debbie, I'm a reasonable person, and I've tried to discuss this with you in reasonable ways right from the start, but not got anywhere. This is very disappointing. That was October 14th. Still no word from her. So November 4th, feeling rather pissed off, I posted in an author's Facebook page warning people about the product and the fact that they did not honor the refund policy. That generated quite a bit of buzz, including people asking me for details, so I sent them basically this transcript of what had happened. Eventually, word got to Debbie. On November 10th, she called me and pleaded with me to remove the comments. What's sad is that even then, she started off defensive. Then she went into a sob story about how she was trying to do so much and it's tough running a software company. I explained that I too have run a software-based company and I know how hard it is. But that doesn't justify treating customers this way and threatening to blacklist them. So at first she denied that she had threatened to blacklist me, and I pointed her back to that specific email. We went round and round. It took a very long time, but eventually she did say she was sorry and has learned from this experience. She offered to refund in full and give me credit towards other products of hers, not something I plan to take advantage of given this experience. Now, would I please, please, please take the comments down so she wouldn't be punished in perpetuity? I had really mixed feelings. I don't believe she's really learned much, nor that her behavior will change significantly. But kind of like half of Americans saying, we really hate Trump, we think he's an idiot, but now we've got to give him a chance, I decided I'd give her a chance and not have her product and her name slammed online in perpetuity. I am using her real name here in this podcast, but I won't in the blog version. However, if I hear anything negative from others, I will absolutely resurrect it. And on a one-on-one level, I will certainly steer any authors I know away from dealing with her. This could have all been avoided had she simply been responsive in the first place. As I explained to her, several things needed to be done differently. 1. If your product has problems, admit it up front so buyers know what they're actually getting. 2. When a customer asks for help, respond immediately and don't treat them as though they were stupid. For example, her repeatedly saying, go watch the video, and ignoring the fact that I said I had watched it. Work with them to figure out where things are going wrong. They're giving you great input there. You need to know if things are going wrong. Don't just bury your head in the sand and pretend it isn't happening. 3. When you promise a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have to honor it. Even if you think the customer is taking advantage of you, you've made the promise, now live by it. 4. Never threaten a customer, especially not one with a social media following, but frankly, even if they don't, you don't know who else they do know. Just don't do it. It's bad practice. And finally, when you have screwed up, apologize immediately and see what you can do to make it right. So, as I say, I did take it down from the Facebook page, and I put up an explanation of why I'd taken it down. I said, didn't refer to it, I said, you know, those of you who follow this page may remember this conversation we had about a product that wasn't working. The owner has since called me and apologized and offered a refund, and I hope that she has actually learned from this, so to give her a chance, I'm taking it down. I notice now that even that comment from me has been removed by, I guess, the administrator of the Facebook page. So, frankly, it's really sad, and I hope that she has learned, although as I say, I doubt it, because clearly she went back to the administrator and pressured them into removing that post. I hope that anyone listening to this podcast will also learn from it, and that people who read this on the blog, where I will blank out her name, also learn from it. Because so many businesses make these kinds of mistakes every day, and it's so needless and does them so much harm. Just don't do it, folks. Treat people with respect. That's all I've got for you this week. I will chat with you again next week. Bye.